When the Spirit of the Lord comes upon my heart, I will dance like David danced. When the Spirit of the Lord comes upon my heart, I will dance like David danced. I will dance, I will dance, I will dance like David danced. I will dance, I will dance, I will dance like David danced. Upon my heart, I will dance like David danced. When the Spirit of the Lord comes upon my heart, I will dance like David danced. And I will dance, I will dance, I will dance like David.
But not now. Okay, yeah. My name is Doreen Shambrook, and I am a minister. So often I hear those words that you're all ministries, ministers of the church. Okay, will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, and to all that is holy, all that is truthful. Amen. Well, three things of significance happened last weekend. First of all, this. What a wonderful soccer match that was when the US team won the final of the World Cup against Japan. Those three goals in the first 5 minutes, just incredible. We rejoiced and people danced. The second significant thing that happened last weekend was that we didn't win the lottery. And that was after Ginny and I had talked for hours about what we would do with the money. And I said, what should we do with that 25,000? And she said, what do you mean 25,000? It's 22 million. You've got to think big, girl. And then I was reminded that you have to buy a ticket. I'm glad to say that this week we actually did win. We bought a ticket and we won a free ticket. So we got 2 out of 6. And thirdly, two people. Two people whose eyes met across a crowded church, the drummer and the saxophone player. They discovered a mutual love for music, and one of them invited the other for dinner, and in the house were literally hundreds of CDs. Their love for each other grew as they listened to the music, and when the time came and they played all the CDs, there was nothing much else to do, and so they got married. And we danced at their wedding last weekend, Ellie and Angelica. Isn't it true that something happens to us in those breathtaking moments when we encounter somebody or something wonderful that embodies all that is good and beautiful in the world? And at first we are lost in awe and wonderment, and then we feel a surge of joy. And joy has to be expressed, like King David. In our reading, it says we sing and dance for joy. David encountered God, and he had to dance. And if a sacrament like marriage or communion or baptism is defined as an outward and visible sign of inward grace, there you are, you've had your theology for today, okay? Finish. Then dancing may be considered sacramental, an outward and visible sign of inner joy. No wonder people danced at Ellie and Angelica's wedding. Ginny and I did not dance, because when you get two strong-minded people like we are, it's difficult to work out who's going to lead. And you spend all the time saying, I'll lead, no, I'll lead, no, I'll lead. But by the time you've got an agreement, the music's over. So dancing is as a result of an emotion of joy. And emotions are what reminds us that we're alive. How are you feeling, we ask? Are you happy, sad? Are you alive? Are you breathing? Thank God for those emotions. Without them, life isn't worth living. Depression, as so many of us know, is a pretty devastating experience, as though all our emotions have dampened down and we're living in a fog and nothing disturbs us because we feel nothing, neither joy nor sorrow. And some here have a personal knowledge of that, and I'm sorry, because you don't feel like dancing. Some of the greatest people in the world have suffered from depression and have managed to work through it and still make a difference in the world, like Winston Churchill, who some of you might have heard of, who was in that country across the pond there, the cigar-smoking English Prime Minister who led our country through World War II. And he called depression his black dog. And yet, in spite of his depression, Churchill led Britain through 5 years of war to peace. His sense that Britain was in grave danger of being invaded and taken over disturbed him to the point where he was eventually able to lead people to dancing in the streets as peace was declared. And you people here danced in the streets when peace was declared. And so it happened in this country when Japan capitulated. Today's reading from this version of Jewish history has King David dancing and singing before God. And this demonstrates the centrality of the one true God in the lives of the Israelites. The Ark of God was sacramentally symbolic of the presence of God, who moved with them as they moved, the one who was to be majestically revered and whose power was unlimited. The God who gave them victory in war and who jealously chastised them for their infidelity in times of peace. It's a hard concept for us to grasp in our age of enlightenment and intellectualism, but David, who on the death of Saul was now king, got it. And so, unfortunately, did the son of Abinadab, who dropped down dead when he accidentally fell against the ark. Today we would identify this as a stroke or heart attack, but then it meant to them that he had dishonored his God, who was displeased, and so had him killed. The David who danced is the same David who, as a young shepherd boy, had been anointed by the prophet Samuel, who had slain the enemy Goliath with a slingshot, who had soothed King Saul with his singing, who had married Saul's daughter Michal, who had become a great warrior, who had lusted after the married woman Bathsheba, and, by the way, the one who loved Saul's son Jonathan with a love surpassing the love of women. This same David danced for joy at the coming home of his God. Now tell me he wasn't a gay man. You make your own interpretation. When do we dance before God? Or put it another way, and in the words of the hymn writer, where is the joy that once we knew when first we saw our God? Where is the soul-refreshing view of Jesus and his word? They're the words of William Cowper, who wrote them from O for a Closer Walk with God. And he wrote, I began to compose them yesterday morning before daybreak, but I fell asleep at the end of the first two lines. When I awakened again, the third and fourth verses were whispered in my heart in a way I have often experienced. You see, God disturbs us in different ways. Quietly, as when the words of a hymn, or for me, the sermon, come in the middle of the night, and I scrabble around for a piece of paper, and I look at it in the morning, and I think, what on earth is that all about? But they do come to us, and they come loudly when God disturbs us, so that we have to dance for joy. Either way, God is waiting to stir us up. Oh, that we might know God as David knew his God, a God who stirs up our emotions, a great and awesome God. Maybe our trouble is that our God is too small. I was thinking when I was coming along that about that ark of God. And in some ways, David and the Israelites were pinning their God down to a box. God is bigger than a box. God can't be put in a box. Our expectations are too limited, and we don't really believe either God or ourself is capable of delivering. Self-fulfilling prophecy is just that. What we imagine is what happens. I imagine 25,000. Ginny imagines 22 million. We didn't get either. But we don't think out of the box. Life continues in its old pattern because we're scared to take risks. We sail too close to the shore. We pat ourselves on the back when we achieve those petty goals that were set too low. We never reach our full potential or trust the full potential of God. We don't get ourselves to the foot of the mountain, let alone look over the top of it. We never enjoy fully the dance. But there are some who do dance abundantly with passion, and you have them amongst you. People like, well, I know Richard Branson isn't here, but you have people in your congregation who are like that, who do dance abundantly, who live life fully, expect from God everything and get it. So Richard Branson, entrepreneur, owner of Virgin, who in spite of being poor academically because he was dyslexic, dropped out of school at 16, is now an influential multi-billionaire who has championed causes that enhance the quality of humankind. He said, my interest in life comes from setting myself huge, apparently unachievable challenges and trying to rise above them. From the perspective of wanting to live life to the full, I felt I had to attempt it. Last year, Branson was named as the number one LGBT ally in the Outstanding Allies rankings. Bill Gates of Microsoft also dropped out of school, and he made mistakes. Later, his well-established company didn't think that the internet had a future. He got that wrong. But his personal wealth now funds a foundation in Africa that is eradicating devastating diseases there. Steve Jobs, who made Apple so successful, said, Apple is not about making boxes for people to get their jobs done, although we do that well. Apple is about something more. Its core value is that we believe that people with passion can change the world for the better. People with passion can change the world for the better. As an aside on the subject of computers, Bill Gates said, "Be nice to nerds. Chances are you'll end up working for one." Dr. John Snow, some of you probably haven't heard of, and I hadn't really until quite recently. I read a book about him. Dr. John Snow was a man who wasn't prepared to accept the preconceived ideas of his medical profession. In London in the 1880s, a devastating outbreak of cholera claimed the lives of more than 500 people in just 10 days. The search for the cure and the cause was furious and fruitless. Contrary to the prevailing belief that the putrid atmosphere and smell of an overcrowded Victorian London caused cholera, Dr. Snow reasoned that transmission of cholera had to be due to contaminated drinking water, and when the handle from the sewage-infected Broad Street water pump was removed, the epidemic was halted. He was successful because he was not satisfied with the old ideas and did his thinking out of the box. And he was also very hard working. And today I'm pleased to say that there is now an oral vaccine against cholera, and it has halted the epidemics in developing countries by 40%. Back to today. Some of you may have seen the TED talk of someone else who didn't allow her disability to get in the way of her ambition to act. Comedian Maysoon Zayed is a Palestinian woman with cerebral palsy who has tap danced on Broadway. Her father taught her to walk when she was 5. His mantra was, "If I can, you can." While many children with cerebral palsy never learned to walk, Maysoon's father never gave up on her. Holding her hands, he placed her heels on the tops of his feet and walked with her. You know, so many of us do that with our children. She says, "I have 99 problems. Cerebral palsy is only one of them." And today she has a foundation that gives Palestinian children the same chances her father insisted she had. And by the way, she is very funny. I recommend you look her up on TED Talks. And sometimes dancing is the only way to express something so profound that there are no words. Some things are so beautiful, words might spoil your experience. Music moves emotions, and the dance of one who interprets that music with sensitivity produces something that touches our deepest emotions. We die with the swan in Swan Lake, or delight in the dance of the sugar plum fairy. Anyway, Russian ballet dancer Maya Plissatskaya, and her interpretation of Ravel's Bolero is so sensuously expressive that every time I watch her, I cry. Then there are those who don't need to demonstrate their dance in front of others. We are not to underestimate the dance without music of those who make a difference as they live an abundantly satisfying and fulfilling life in secret and quietly and without words. People like Mother Teresa. We need God to disturb us all the time. A boy dies from drinking unclean water. Girls are denied schooling. When countries spend more on defense than health, when money elects politicians, when 1% of people own more than the rest of 99%, when religious exemption laws allow gay discrimination, when people continue to celebrate a history of slavery and lynching, when young black men are held in disproportionate numbers in US prisons, when mental and social services are vastly underfunded. We need God to disturb us. The whole world needs disturbing, and God only has us to be the disturbers, the ones who, as they dance with compassion, change the world. and we need disturbing from our slumber of the frozen chosen, so that we are always ready to dance, so that when bad things happen, we're ready to deal with it. Heaven forbid that it takes a tragedy in our community to shake us out of our complacency. We need to pray the prayer of Jabez to increase our borders, the borders that limit us from seeking justice for the poor, the disenfranchised, the sick, the homeless, the jobless, the hopeless, the refugee, the migrant worker, and you can add the rest. But first, we have to want to be disturbed. To win the lottery, we first have to buy a ticket, and to look over the mountain, we first have to prepare for the climb. And with Martin Luther King, we have to dream a dream, a big dream. And if we are scared or don't know how, we can start by letting God take our hands and guiding our feet so that we learn the steps of the dance, to dance the dance of life as David danced, with passion, with God, exuberantly and noisily, or quietly and in secret, but always with God, the God we revere, and the God who is found in the faces of those we encounter on our journey. And together we will dance with compassion, the dance that changes the world. Remember that single, simple phrase: people with compassion can change the world. And if Maysoon Zayed can, then you and I can. Let's do it. Now this video.
Disturb us, Lord, when we are too well pleased with ourselves, when our dreams have come true, because we've dreamed too little. When we've arrived safely, because we've sailed too close to the shore.
Disturb us, Lord, when with the abundance of things we possess, we have lost our thirst for the waters of life.
Lost our thirst.
Having fallen in love with life, we have ceased to dream of eternity. And in our efforts to build a new earth, we have allowed our vision of the new heaven to dim.
Disturb us, Lord, to dare more boldly, to venture on wider seas, where storms will show more vastly, where losing sight of land, we shall find the stars. We ask you to push back the horizons of our hopes, and to push into the future in strength, courage, Lord, to dare more boldly,
to venture on wider seas,
where storms will show your mastery, where losing sight of land,
we shall find the stars.